Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. So this is something that has been discussed a lot in the last few months because of the situation in Eretz Yisrael. And when we hear the terms Am Segula, or an Am Kadosh, or chosen people, so for a lot of people that can be a little bit uncomfortable, especially in the current climate when there's such a focus on racism and such a focus on equality. So when we hear the fact that we're singled out for some purpose, so for many people that can come off as a little bit aggressive and a little bit uncomfortable. And I would like to do two things. On the one hand, I want to try to alleviate that discomfort, try to understand what the term chosen people means, and conversely, why in fact there should be a source of pride, why we should be proud to be Jewish, and why that doesn't mean racism and it doesn't mean denigration of anybody else. In order to do this, we really need to take a step back and understand how it all began. How did Judaism start? Where did we come from? Why were we chosen? That's step number one. And for that, we turn to Avraham Avinu, the patriarch of the Jewish people. And there are many midrashim that discuss Avraham Avinu at 3 years old, finding Hashem. There's one midrash in particular that I would like to focus on source number one, that really paints a picture of why Avraham Avinu was chosen and what he did, how he came to be Avraham Avinu. And the Medrash tells us, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lema Avram Avinu Doma. To what is Avram Avinu compared? You have someone who's traveling. You have a traveler going from place to place. V'ra'a bira dolekas. And he sees a building on fire. He sees a burning building. Amar, this traveler says, Shema Tomar, Shehabira Hazos. Below Manhig, is it possible that this building, this burning building, has no owner, has no one leading it, no one taking care of it? Hitzitz alav bal habira. The owner of the window, the owner of the building, opens the window and he says, Ani bal habira. I'm the owner of the building. I'm here. So that's the mashal. You have a traveler, place to place, burning building. How can you have a burning building without anybody trying to put out the building? And the owner says, I'm here. That's the mashal. The nimshal, explains Rabbi Yitzchak, is that Avram Avinu looked back. Avram Avinu is our traveler. He looks back on the previous 20 generations, from Enosh and the Avodah Zarah that was happening in his time, and the moral corruption of the Dor HaMabul, of the generation of the Flood, and furthermore, the generation of the Dor HaFlaga, the people that were dispersed because they literally tried to wage war against Hashem. And he says, we have this building, we have this creation of earth, we have the world, and there's order. It's a building, it's put together, but it's dolekas, it's on fire, it's burning, there's evil, there's corruption throughout. So Avraham Avinu thinks to himself, is it possible that there's no one in charge of this building? Is it possible that no one's seeing, no one's trying to put out the flames? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. Hashem, in a way, opens the window and he yells out to Avram Avinu, Ani Rishon Va'ani Acharon, Ani Adon Ha'olam. I am the first, I am the last, and I am the one who is the master of the world. And that is what precedes the story of Lech Lecha, Vayomer Hashem al Avram. All it took for Avram Avinu to be chosen, to be the one who would be the founder of the Jewish people, was for Avraham Avinu to perceive the chaos, the dolekas, the burning building of the world, and for him to say, let me help. Hashem creates the world. Human beings have burnt it, have lit it on fire with the chaos and corruption that exists. And Avraham Avinu said, I want to be a part of fixing that. I want to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to partner with Hashem to help put out that fire. And that is the background of Avraham Avinu. That is why Avraham Avinu became who he was. And this is made explicit in the Psukim in source number 2. Why is Avraham Avinu chosen? Why is there this special relationship between Hashem and Avraham? So the Pasuk says, Ki Adativ, I know, I've singled out Avraham Avinu. Leman asher yitzava es banav v'es beso acharav. Because I know that not only will he take upon himself this task, but he will also pass it on to his children. V'shamru derech Hashem lasos tzedakah u'mishpat. And he will guard the way of God, doing righteousness and justice in the world. So Hashem is telling us in the Torah that the reason why Avraham Avinu was singled out is because he perceived the problem and he committed to being the messenger of Hashem's values in the world. And that was the foundation. Avraham Avinu as a person took it upon himself to be that messenger. And true to Hashem's prediction, he did in fact pass that message on to the Jewish people. And we formally accepted it upon ourselves on Matan Torah. And that is what is described in source number 3. When the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim and they're on their way to accept the Torah, they're sitting by our Sinai, Ish Echad, B'lev Echad, they're one nation, one people, one purpose, and they're sitting at the foot of the mountain. And Hashem tells Moshe, I need you to deliver a message to the Jewish people before the Torah is given. And he says two things. Source number 3, V'yatayim shemoa tishm'u b'koli. If you, the Jewish people, listen to my voice, Ushmartem es brisi, and you follow the Torah, you keep the rules that we are laying out, V'yayisem li segula. And this is the first time that the Jewish people are given this title. This title of Am Segula that is the source of so much discomfort and so much anti-Semitism of being singled out, this is the first time it appears. And Hashem says, if you follow the Torah, and if you accept this covenant upon yourselves, then you will become segula mikol ha'amim. You will become a treasure from amongst the nation. And what does that mean? V'atem tiyuli, the next pasuk, you shall be for me, mamlechas kohanim, v'goy kadosh. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This was the message that Hashem was giving to the Jewish people right before they were accepting the Torah. What Hashem is telling us is that our accepting of the Torah, us taking that torch from Avraham Avinu, aside from just him, Avram, being the messenger of God, we as the Jewish people also are accepting upon ourselves to be the Mamlechas Kohanim, to be singled out by Hashem. And this is explicitly in the Abarbanel in source number 4. That hine yischarchem v'chilef avodaschem, your reward for keeping the Torah in exchange for your work. There's a service, there's a duty that we have. Shetiuli segula mikol. That you will be this singled out nation. And that will have a lot of benefits, and in this world, a lot of challenges. That you're going to be tachas hanhagas hashkachasa, that we are uniquely under the hashkacha, the guidance of Hashem. So what I think this is, this first step, is that we're starting to see that we were not just chosen randomly. Avraham Avinu chose to be chosen, and we, the Jewish people, when we said Nasa V'Nishma, also chose to be chosen. We decided that we were going to heed the call of Avraham Avinu. We were going to help Hashem partner and fix the world, fix the burning building, the Bira Dolekes. And once we accepted that upon ourselves, so we became that chosen nation, and that status will continue, as the Psukim describe in Parshas Ekev. When Moshe is preparing his final speech to the Jewish people, he tells them, Ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem elokecha, the beginning of source number 5, you are a holy nation to Hashem. Bicha bachar Hashem, Hashem chose you, lios l'am segula. Another appearance of this term, am segula. You are being chosen, you are the chosen people. And why? Not because you're better than anyone, says Moshe. Lo mirubchem mikol ha'am. It's not because you're bigger and better than anyone. That's not why. Pasuk Ches, Ki mi'avas Hashem eschem. For some reason, Hashem has a love for you. And Moshe doesn't tell us what that love is, but the Ramban fills in the blanks. The Ramban says, Shara'a eschem ru'uyim lihis'ahiv. Hashem saw the Jewish people, and I'm making the assumption, this is, he's seeing the Jewish people's commitment to the Torah. They're accepting of the Torah, they're accepting of this responsibility. V'nivcharim le'ava. And therefore, it makes sense that they should be chosen and singled out. That this Jewish people specifically, Hashem went to Edom before Matan Torah. He went to Yishmael before Matan Torah. And he asked them, do you want the Torah? And they said, no. He said, we don't want it. But the Jewish people, we accepted it upon ourselves, nasa v'nishma, to be the messengers of Hashem. And despite the challenges, ki yamdu lo b'nisyono, says the Ramban. There are many, many challenges that the Jewish people faced, are facing, and will continue to face. But nevertheless, the reason why we are singled out, the reason why we continue to have this status of the Am HaNifchar, the chosen people, is because we continue to choose to be those messengers. We continually choose to be chosen. And that is the background of why we were chosen to begin with. And that, I think, is step number one. So, again, just to summarize section one, we're trying to figure out why the Jewish people were chosen. Before we can understand what it means to be chosen and why we should have pride about being chosen, we first understand that we were chosen because Avram Avinu and Klal Yisrael and us to this day continually choose to accept upon ourselves to be the Mamlach HaSkalanim, to be the model of Hashem's values to the world, and helping partner with Hashem to fix the burning building that Avram Avinu first noticed. Step number two is trying to understand the nature of this chosenness. What does it mean to be chosen? We know why, but what does that mean? What does it look like? So first, I think it is crucial we look at the Gemara in Source 7, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is addressing a very simple question. Why was Adam HaRishon created as HaRishon? Why was one first man created alone? Him and Chava, they were created as one couple. And from one person, that was where the rest of humanity came. And the Gemara says, Lefikach nivra Adam yechidi. This was the reason why human being was considered, was created as a single person. Mipnei shalom habrios, skipping the first answer of the Gemara, because of peace between people, to promote equality and peace between everyone in the world, all of humanity, not amongst Jews specifically, but the entire world. Shelo yomar Adam, that no single person could say, Adam, not a Yisrael, not a Jew, no single human being could claim, Abba gadol mi'avicha, my heritage is better than yours. My lineage is greater. I have some advantage over anyone else. Why? Because we all came from the same place. So on a very basic level, what the Gemara is telling us is that from Yitzelem Elokim perspective, the image of God that each and every human being is created with, we are all equal. So when we're trying to distinguish chosen, not chosen, segula, not segula, the Gemara is telling us that the foundation of everyone is the same. Once we understand that fact from the Gemara, that from a biological perspective, no one has a claim over anybody else, so now we take one step further. What is Judaism's stance on conversion? At face value, if we thought that Judaism was like better and the only way to achieve closeness to God and the only way to achieve perfection and a relationship with Hashem, so one would think that we would try to convince as many people as possible to join us on that journey. And that when you join that journey, there would be some sort of difference between the Jewish people and not, even from a religious perspective. And those two ideas are rejected outright by the Rambam. The Rambam in source number 8, he receives a letter. He receives a question from Ovadia HaGer. Ovadia was a ger. He was a convert. He had recently converted. And he was asking the Rambam a very simple question. He says, She'ilo Rishona al iske habrachos v'hatfilos. Can a ger, regarding brachos, say the words, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu? Can a ger say that my father, my forefathers were commanded? Can he say, Asher kidishano b'mitzvosav? Can he say that he was commanded by Hashem? Can he say, Asher hivdilanu? That he was separated out? When we talk about in our tefilos, Ata v'chartanu, we're chosen, our forefathers were chosen, or Eretz Yisrael was given to our forefathers. So Avadya, the ger, is asking a very simple question. Can I, a ger, whose forefathers were not promised this, who was not commanded upon birth to have these mitzvos, can I say these words in davening? Is that true? And the Rambam answers in no uncertain terms. Yesh l'cha lomar hakol ketikna. You, Ovadia, and every other ger that follows should say everything, every single word, al tishane davar, don't change anything from what is in davening. Ella,
what does the word ketikna mean?
As it was established. Ella kimoshi yispalel v'yivarech, just like every single person davens and makes brachos, kol ezrach miYisrael, every citizen of the Jewish people, every from birth, kach ra'i lecha levarech olehispalel. So too, it is fitting for you, Ovadia Hager, to make those same brachos, to say those same tfilos, and you can say them with the same words. And why? So the Rambam explains, the end of the second line of the answer, v'ikar hadavar, the foundation, the primary answer to this question is, Avram Avinu, who shall limed kol ha'am? Avram Avinu, as we explained, is the patriarch of Judaism. He is the founder of Judaism. He is the first Jew. V'hiskilam, and he enlightened the people of his time. V'hodiyam derech ha'ames, and he taught them the way of the truth. V'yichudo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the oneness and the unity of God. And therefore, since it was Avram Avinu, from an intellectual perspective, from a bechira, from a choosing, from a noticing the burning building, from a desire to help Hashem fix the world, and that was why he was chosen. Therefore, lefikach, kol mi sheyiskayer, anyone who converts, ad sof kol hadoros, till the end of time, v'kol hamiyachid shemo, and anyone who unifies and accepts upon himself the unification, the oneness of Hashem, kemo shekasav Torah, as the Torah outlines, talmido shel Avraham Avinu, is not only the student of Avraham, ubnei besohim, part of the family, part of the people. We're all part on the same team. And what the Rambam is telling us is that Judaism and choosing to be a Jew has nothing to do with a biological distinction one way or another. Rambam is telling us that what it means to be a Jew is to choose to be a Jew. If you accept upon yourself those things that make Jews unique, meaning the Torah and mitzvos, the willingness to model those values and morals that we get from the Torah and model them to the world, if you accept upon yourself the bris that was outlined in by Matan Torah and the Mamlechas Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh, if you accept those things upon yourself, that's all it takes to be a part of the Jewish people, to the extent that you can say, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, you can say that your forefathers were commanded to keep the mitzvos. Because you've connected intellectually, from a moral perspective, you've connected to Avram Avinu. And from a Judaism perspective, that's all that matters. And furthermore, not only when a non-Jew decides to opt in, to choose to be part of the Jewish people, not only does that make them full-fledged members of the Jewish people, but we don't push that on anybody else. In fact, we discourage converts. If somebody comes to ask to be part of the Jewish people, we put up a resistance. We say, hold on, you sure you want to do this? Like, a lot of problems we have. We get persecuted a lot. So are you sure? And if they want to do it, they want to continue, want to go through, we accept them. And then once you're in, we know the Rambam, you're in. No questions asked. But why would it be, if it's really true that Judaism is so great, and that there's no difference between Jews and non-Jews from a biological perspective, so why would we discourage it? Why don't we want people to join the community? So this is dependent on another fascinating halacha in the Rambam. In source number 9, in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam says something that I think is pretty much agreed upon across the board. Kol ha-mikabel, anyone who accepts upon themselves the Sheva Mitzvos, the 7 Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the 7 Noahide laws, v'nizhar la'asosan, and is meticulous in their performance, you do those 7 Mitzvos, which are the foundation, the bedrock of a functioning, moral, ethical society, harezeh, this person becomes michaside umos ha'olam, the pious, the righteous of the nations of the world. And not only that, v'yesh lo chilek li'olam haba, They have a portion in the world to come. They can connect to Hashem, even without being Jewish at all. So what the Rambam is telling us is that, and this answers the question of why we discourage, or for sure we don't encourage conversion, is because the Torah, the way the Torah believes, is not that there's only one path to connection to Hashem. Every single person, Jew or non-Jew, has equal ability to achieve perfection in their own path, in their own way. And a Jew has their rules that they need to follow, being that Mamlachas Kohanim, being that model of Torah values to the world. But non-Jews have that same ability in their own personal way, that if they follow the rules laid out for them, even without being Jewish, can achieve this perfection. And this idea is only, I cannot say it as well as Rabbi Sacks. In source number 10, Rabbi Sacks points this out, that this is a very unique idea. Judaism has a structural peculiarity so perplexing and profound that though Christianity and Islam took much else from it, they did not adopt this. There is something incredibly unique about Judaism and the way it perceives the relationship between Jews and non-Jews. It is a particularist monotheism. So what does that mean? It believes in one God, but not in one exclusive path to salvation. There is not one way to connect to Hashem. There are multiple paths, and therefore, we're not going to push our path on anybody else. And therefore, in paragraph number 2, God, the creator of humanity, having made a covenant with all humanity, then turns to one people and commands it to be different. Hashem turned to the Jewish people and said, I need help. Avram Avinu, when he saw the burning building, saw that the building was burning. And Hashem needed help from Avram Avinu, from the Jewish people, to help put out those flames. And therefore, they needed to be different. But what that teaches is that then turns to one people, commands it to be different, teaching humanity to make space for difference. That there are different paths. There is the path, don't contribute to the burning building. Be moral, be ethical. That's all Hashem expects and wants from humanity. But in order to push that idea forward, in order to help that idea come to fruition, there needed to be a Mamlechas Kohen. There needed to be a group of people who accepted upon themselves to model what that looks like. And we, the Jewish people, chose for that to be our path, for that to be our call. So what we see from here in step number 2 is what this difference does not mean. This difference does not mean that there is a qualitative or biological difference between Jews and non-Jews. It does not mean that there's only one way to be a good person. All it means is that we have a responsibility that distinguishes us in the way we act and in the way that we behave and the expectations that we have for ourselves, and that is what is different. But that was something that we chose. And our choosing, our acceptance of that, the reason we were chosen, that is why we are the Am Segula. So now, the next step is trying to look a little bit closer at what this chosenness looks like. If it's not a difference, and it's not a biological distinction, so then let's dive a little bit more into the nature of this chosenness. So this was expressed beautifully by the Rav, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, in one of his Sfarim, Hashkafos HaRav, the Reflections of the Rav, which were Shiurim that were written up based off of the lectures that he gave. And the Rav is trying to translate the word Segula, which is right on our topic. And the Rav says the word singular has many meanings, being only one, or exceptional, separate. The word segula in Hebrew similarly connotes singularity. We are being singled out. That's what the Rav tells us. And what does that mean? The Rav quotes our psukim in Yisro about being an Am Segula, and he compares it to the relationship between Yaakov Avinu and his two wives, his two primary wives, Rachel and Leah. Of course, he loved both. There was no denigration of Leah. For example, Jacob loved Rachel. He did not hate Leah. The difference was that because of the special relationship between Rachel and Yaakov. That was why it may have been perceived as if there was a distinction between Rachel and Leah. And therefore, concludes the Rav at the end, the last paragraph, in source 11, similarly, the people of Israel are a segula people, singularly valued by God, which involves no denigration of other nations. What is the specialness? It is a nation, one of its kind, which God has designated to preserve and disseminate his divine teachings. The singularity, the reason why we were singled out, the reason why we have this special relationship, as the Abarbanel told us on Parshas Yisro, is because we were designated to preserve and disseminate the divine teachings. Because we accepted upon ourselves the responsibility of bringing this forward to the rest of the world, that is what makes us unique. The nature of the chosenness, the nature of being an Am Segula, is the responsibility that we have. And Rabbi Pinny Donner, who's a Rav, I believe, in California, he develops this idea at length. And he outlines a lot of the ideas we've discussed. The point is this, says Rabbi Donner. Our ancestors took something on at Har Sinai. They declared Nasa V'Nishma, we shall do, we shall obey. This meant that they would do everything and anything that Judaism demanded on them. They undertook an exacting code of morality, law, and discipline more than any of their contemporary nations, then as now. Rabbi Donner is saying the themes that we've been discussing, that the difference between the Jewish people and the rest of the world is not a qualitative difference. It is a difference in the responsibility that we took upon ourselves. So what does it mean to be chosen? It means that God chose us to do the thing that made creating the world worthwhile. And that, says Rabbi Donner, necessitates and causes there to be a specific, a unique relationship. Because we've partnered with Hashem in disseminating his teachings to the world, in modeling those Torah morals and values, so of course that's going to result in a relationship. And as a side, Rabbi Donner uses this to explain a very interesting word that we use to describe Hashem, which I, for one, have always been confused by, but Rabbi Donner says it can be explained with this idea. We refer to God as a Kel Kana, as a jealous God. What does that mean? It's not a petty human emotion of being jealous. Of God doesn't care in the human sense of being jealous. But what it means, says Rabbi Donner, the verse is using a human emotion to help us understand the chosenness. If a husband is not jealous with regard to their wife, or wife jealous with reference to their husband, then their relationship is not a relationship of chosenness. When we chose God, and God chose us in return, so that created a bond between us. We are partners in helping fix the world. So of course, God can't allow us to do whatever we want, because that would be reneging on our agreement, on the covenant that we entered together. Of course, God can't allow us to do whatever we want, and to go and serve other gods. That would be antithetical to the nature of the agreement and the relationship that we have. And that further gives us insight in how we have this relationship and the chosenness. Again, it is not a qualitative difference. It's the nature of the agreement of the actions that we took upon ourselves. And this expresses itself in the Tfilos of Yom Noraim. During on Yom Tovim, on a regular Shalosh Regalim, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, so we focus on us. Atavich Artanu, you Hashem chose us, Romam Tanu, Mikol Hashonos, you uplifted us. But when we discuss our vision for the world, when we're really focusing on Hashem, which is what we do on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, in Source 13, the tone changes. It's not about what we are in regards to Hashem. It is about what we are looking to contribute to the world. Uvechein, tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu, you Hashem should place your fear al kol ma'asecha, not on the Jewish people, the entire world. V'yemascha, and your fear al kol ma'asecha barasa, on everything you Hashem have created. V'yasu kula maguda achas lasus ritzonecha b'lev shalem, everyone should be unified in purpose, unified in their goal to do the will of Hashem. Our goal is not limited to ourselves and focusing on how we are better. This again connects back to the conversion idea. We're not saying that in order for the world to achieve its purpose, everyone needs to be Jewish. That's not what we say. What we say in our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is that we want everyone to be on the same page in terms of reflecting Torah values. And we are the people who have taken it upon ourselves to model those values to the world. And that is why we are chosen. And that is the goal that we need to constantly have in mind as we are thinking about our chosenness, thinking about our unique role in the world. It is to bring the enlightenment of Hashem and the Torah, not in the specific Jewish actions that we do, but in the morals and in the values that we stand for. So now, I think, once we've understood why we were chosen, how we started with Avram Avinu, noticing the chaos and the evil in the world and wanting to quell it, and understanding the nature, what chosenness is not, and now understanding a little bit more that the chosenness is a result of our responsibility and the duty that we accepted upon ourselves, I think now we can finally see where the pride comes in. And one of the people who expressed this most clearly was not a friend of the Jews in any way. In Source 14, Leo Tolstoy, he describes the nature of the Jewish people and their contribution. What is the Jew? What kind of unique creature is this whom all the rulers of all the nations of the world have disgraced and crushed and expelled and destroyed, persecuted, burned and drowned? We got singled out for a lot of bad reasons and for a lot of bad things. But despite that, continues to live and flourish. What is this Jew whom they have never succeeded in enticing with all of the enticements in the world, whose oppressors and prosecutors only suggested that he deny his religion and cast aside the faithfulness? Describing the plight of the Jewish people, despite thousands of years of every single place we've gone, ultimately getting sick of us, killing us, and kicking us out, the Jew is the symbol of eternity. He is the one who for so long had guarded the prophetic message and transmitted it to all mankind. Leo Tolstoy nailed it. He's telling us exactly why we're the Jewish people. Why are we singled out? Why have we continued, despite all odds, to survive? Because we are transmitting an eternal message. We are partnering with God to help bring those messages to the world. A people such as this can never disappear. That is something that we can be prideful of. If we continue to choose to partner with God, if we continue, despite the nisyonos, despite all the challenges that we are faced with, so then we live up to our title as the Am Segula. And to conclude, this is the message that Rav Kook is telling us. That when we think about being prideful and loving the nation, we think about, which this is the theme of today, of thinking of Am Yisrael, of Achdus, and everyone together, of nationhood. So Rav Kook tells us that that nationhood has to be, we have to know why that's significant. And Rav Kook tells us that Rav Kook is in the context of using Lashon HaKodesh, using Hebrew, as a primary language of connecting with God. And he says that, of course, most of the time, the reason why we have Hebrew language, the reason why we use Hebrew, is because a nation has a language. And when we use the language of our nation, that helps unite us. And that focuses us on the bonds that connect all Jewish people. However, he says, Uchedei lasis os, to give a sign, shelo al halumiyut levada, not on nationhood alone, yichyeh ha'ish ha'yisraeli. It is not enough to just be part of the Jewish people in idea and to say, oh, I'm Jewish, that unites us. We have to understand, kiim lo tisromam l'tachlisa ha'kolid, if the Jewish people do not connect to their ultimate purpose, to their covenant, to the mission that we chose, shehi, which is the tachlis ritzon Hashem yisbarach, the ultimate will of God in this world, b'shmiras kol ha'Torah, and not just the shmiras kol ha'Torah for us, which is shetavi lehamshich malchuso, that comes, that brings into the world the malchuso yisbarach ba'olam, that brings the kingdom, that brings the sovereignty of Hashem to the entire world. Therefore, says Rav Kook, because we don't want to lose focus, that what unites us, that what gives us pride and what allows us to feel good and to unite over the purpose of being a Jew, sometimes we don't use Hebrew. Because it's not just about being part of the Jewish people, it's about living up to those messages. To summarize, we're trying to figure out what is the nature of chosenness? What is the nature of being an Am Segula? And we spoke about why we were chosen. From Avram Avinu noticing the need, seeing the burning building, and wanting to put out the flames of chaos in the world. The Jewish people continuing to accept that mission upon themselves. And we spoke about the idea that Judaism and the chosenness is not about being better or qualitatively different or biologically different than anybody else. And what it really is a responsibility to uphold Torah values and model them for the world. And therefore, because of all of this, because Judaism and being part of Klal Yisrael is choosing to be chosen, is choosing to continue, despite all the challenges, to uphold the message of God in this world, that is something I think we all have a right and a responsibility to be proud of.